talking about, they're teaching a whole bunch of lies on there. Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, paganism, entertainment, sports, politics, all these things are of the kingdom of Satan. Do you realize that?
Yeah,
you're none. Yeah. And do you know how we get into the kingdom of God? We have faith in Christ and his shed blood, his death, burial, and his resurrection. Right? He was fully God, fully man. And then we must repent. That means a turning of our mind and our ways, turning from all our sin and our life toward a holy God, leaving that all behind, willing to lose our life. And if we do that, do you know what happens? John 3:3, he says we'll be born again. He'll give us his Holy Spirit. Have you heard of that?
Reincarnation. There we go.
No, it's called being born again. I thought you said you have a Bible. There's no reincarnation in the Bible.
There's a lot of weird stuff in the Bible you'll find.
Oh, so you're not a Christian. You don't believe the Bible?
No,
is
I
that,
do.
Is that what it is? Oh.
It's just some... If you look into it, there's a lot of things that are interesting about the Bible that... There's a lot of interpretation that's made that's not always right. Some interpretation that takes advantage of what's right and what's vague.
You're right. See, the Bible even covers itself. It says there is no personal or private interpretation. It has to be done through the Holy Spirit that we were just talking about. So if you're born again and God gives you the Holy Spirit... You're going to understand, and the Holy Spirit's going to help you understand the word, to follow it, obey it, and that's how you find eternal life. You have to keep enduring to the end. That means, like we talked about, losing your life, coming out of the world, coming out of the culture. This is Satan's kingdom. There's Satan, there's God. There's Satan's kingdom, and then there's God's kingdom. So you're born in the flesh into this kingdom, which is very perverse and getting worse and worse. You must repent and be born into God's kingdom, and that's how you find eternal life. You don't want to be left outside the gates of heaven. You can check out our website. My husband's right there. We're just coming through here today. We caught a lot of people, had a lot of nice conversations. And we're trying to encourage young people who are being deceived. The culture has gotten worse and worse for teaching lasciviousness and sin, teaching that sin is okay. You can't kill a puppy, but you can kill a baby. How does that work?
Well, puppies are cute. I'm just joking.
Don't tell me that you're for abortion.
No.
And we don't just go after that either, and homosexuality. There's a lot of street preachers that go after homosexuality and abortion. We go after every sin. Because one is going to leave you outside the gates of heaven. Revelation 22 and 21 both talk about if you love and practice one lie, you'd be left outside the gates of heaven. A creator God of the universe gave us his word and his truth, and if we want his spirit to understand, to find our way back to him.
It's just a line that I always remember, is the fact that during the days when they were still under control of Babylon, there's a similar story told that's akin to the story of Noah that was found within Babylonian archives.
Well, Noah is proven. There was a flood. Even the secular people, they'll admit that Noah's flood happened. So this is my husband. He's done talking to
the young
man.
How's it going? Doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing well. What's your first name, sir?
Luke.
Luke?
Make new mistakes, try
like
to
avoid. if you fall into fornication and you feel guilty about it and you go, oh well, we're human, then you go and do it next week and then next week and then next week and then next week and then next week. What do you think God's going to do with sins like that?
I'll probably say, oh, that's a baddie.
You think you're going to be cleansed and forgiven of that?
Well, I haven't even gotten the chance to fornicate, so I don't think so.
Drinking, lying, drunkenness, anything that's outside of God's truth. Good for you. Don't do that. But I would challenge you, test everything to the word of God. The churches are lying. My wife was probably telling you, I was witnessing that young man. That young man claimed to be a believer. And when I asked him about college life, a whole bunch of men today told me, young men like you, let me ask you a question, I'm going to ask you, is college godly or ungodly?
Most things know whether ungodly.
Every single young man instantly, ungodly. But yet, some of them saying, I'm a Christian, I go here, and I'm like, are you part of it? And they're like, yeah, and I'm like, how can you be part of ungodly and claim God? If you get married, I love to use this example. Do you want to get married someday?
Preferably.
Okay. Would you like a wife that is faithful to you, or she sleeps with all the neighbors? Probably. I mean, she's just a sinner in her heart. You get the point.
Yeah.
We should be faithful to the one we've committed to in a covenant. A marriage is a covenant. I'm married. I try my hardest to be faithful to my wife, and I am. A blood covenant, Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins, calls you to repent. You got to come out of the world, the culture, the church. Stay out of the churches. They're all lying. They're about money.
Yeah.
They're about traditions of men. And the Bible says you can be born again by His Spirit. But I was telling that young man, Chris, when you're born again by the Spirit of God, you don't just live any way you want. Guess what your guide is now? The Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The Word of God. I use my phone with my Bible. It's got the King James Bible in it. That's your guide. And then you test everything. Hey, I'm cussing like a sailor. Is that good and godly? No, Paul says no coarse jesting. All right, throw that out. Hey, I go out and I get drunk. Alcohol's not sinful. But in college, they take it to the extreme. I know. And there's a lot of drunkenness. And then you go, I'm getting drunk. Will drunkards inherit the kingdom of God? And then you go all the way down to, how do I live my life? Ready? I was telling some young people that walk by, some young women, that everybody, there's a lot of street preachers. Do you see many street preachers here?
Only one, actually.
Okay. I've seen first. Some of the street preachers go out and they yell out, and they yell out at homosexuals. And they'll say, oh, you bunch of sodomites and you homos. Okay, and homosexuality is a sin. And the Bible says it's an abomination. But did you know what else? I like to preach all of God's word. Paul says, I did not keep for preaching the full counsel of God's word to you. Do you know what else is an abomination to God? In Proverbs 6, I'll give you a hint. Six things, no seven. And he goes on and talks about a lying tongue, one who causes discord, and ready? A proud look. Yeah. So when women wear makeup and jewelry and tight clothing, when men put on muscle shirts, and I used to be a bodybuilder, I know all about men's pride, and they walk around, they're an abomination to God. They don't even have to be a homosexual. They're an abomination. And also Luke says, I think it's Luke 16, whatever the world highly esteems is an abomination to God. So the world esteems like the culture, sports, politics, entertainment, college degrees, fun, living your own life. And God says, that's an abomination to me. You should live for me. All that makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Test yourself.
I consider myself pretty... I can't say I'm free of sin. I've engaged plenty of vices in my time, but I'd say I've gotten a lot better than I once was.
That's good. You're on the right path, but tell you what, James 4:4, here's a good test for you. It says to be a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. That friend word, look up the Greek, it means fond of. So look at anything you're interested in, sports, politics, movies, entertainment, fashion, pride, vanity, college life, and go, is this of the world? Or is this of my Father? And if you're fond of it, you're actually on the side of an enemy. You may not have a lot of big, gross sins, but I do have a question. How many sins did it take for Adam and Eve to get thrown out of the garden?
Well, they only had the one to do.
Okay. How about Ananias and Sapphira, a husband and wife in Acts 5? They were killed and sent to eternal judgment over one lie. So look at your life. Raise the standard. See, everybody likes to lower God's standard way down and say, oh, what's your first name?
It's Luke.
Luke, I'm sorry. Luke, I witnessed a lot of people. I'll never forget your face. Your name escapes me. Oh, Luke, you're better than most people. Oh, Luke, you don't have to do that. Oh, Luke, you're fine. Oh, you, Luke, everybody sins. Oh, Luke, look at all this. God's standard. Jesus said your righteousness must surpass that of the Pharisees. They were really righteous people living by every jot and tittle of God's law. The Pharisees got in trouble. Where? Hypocrisy. I'm telling you not to do things. I go and do it. Hey, Luke, don't you be smoking. That's sinful. You catch me behind the college building smoking. You go, man, you're a hypocrite. But they were righteous in many ways. Our righteousness must surpass that. And you know how we get that? The perfect blood of Jesus, because we're none of us are perfect, cleanses us, but then we live in a manner that lives righteously after God. Do you know what the word righteous means? Simplest form?
To act in God's will.
Very good, very close. It would be, yeah, whatever is godly and right to God. So everything you do, is this right to God? Hey, I'm pursuing, I don't know what career you're pursuing, it doesn't matter. I'm pursuing, I want to be a professional football player. And you go, yeah, I'm going to make a lot of money. Man, I'm going to be famous, popular. Man. Then if you're a Christian, you go, how does that stand up to God's word? It's rowdy, it's violent, it's worldly, it's covetous. Maybe I should do something else and then preach the gospel. That, a janitor preaching the gospel living holy, far outweighs the worldly person that says a prayer in the end zone. You see what I'm saying. Test everything in your life, young man. Maybe we came here just for you today. And begin to throw out that which is not of God. And I promise you, college will have to be thrown out. You know what? College, they're selling people lies. That you have to have a college degree to make a good living. Do you know how many men don't have college degrees and they make like 100 grand a year? Plumbers, heating technicians, all types of the trades laborers are looking for people. Young men go in huge college debt to study Russian history, and then they can't find a decent job. The college system is like a trap. Now, I get it. If you want to be a doctor, you're going to have to go to college. You want to be a lawyer, you're probably going to have to do that. And I'd watch out for some of those professions, some of them, because they can also lead you down a trap. But test the outcome of your life. If you live, how old are you, like 20?
I'm 19.
19. So if you live one more year or you live 60 more years, at the end, when God looks at your life, hey, Luke, let's take a look at your life here. What's it going to look like? Is it all for him? Or is it all for you and the culture? You've been gracious. Our website's designed for free to help you. There's a 10-point test that exposes the churches. The gospel's on the other side. We travel full-time. We support ourselves. I retired early to do this. We go all over the country. And we just like to wake people up. This college, last thing. I probably said last thing already. Satan's kingdom. There's two kingdoms. The kingdom of Christ is in God's people. If you're born again and you're following him and obeying him, you're in God's kingdom. There's a new heaven and a new Jerusalem going to come. Jesus is going to come. He's going to destroy everything on earth with fire. That's what the Bible says. And in 2 Thessalonians 1, it says he's coming in vengeance. Everybody's got the long-haired, blue-eyed, feminist, easy on sin Jesus. He's coming as the Lion of Judah in fire and vengeance. And it says to destroy all those that don't know God. So it'd be all these professors that deny God. Jesus is coming to destroy them. And those that don't obey the gospel. Even the professors that are worldly, carnal, might go to church and they go, yeah, but you know, you don't have to really be serious about this stuff. He's coming to destroy them. And he's bringing in his kingdom. Right now, we're living in Satan's kingdom. 2 Corinthians 4:4. This Satan is the god of this world. The college system, the churches, and the culture are built on Satan's mindset. So go and look around everything you see. And then say, is this of God? Is this pure, holy, true? Philippians 4:8. Is it good, true, worthy, noble, pure, holy? Or is it of Satan's kingdom? And then decide, what kingdom do you want to walk in? And we're here to help you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right?
It was a very enlightening discussion.
We love you.
I'll just say my first brush with kind of disillusionment with the church was when I learned about what transubstantiation is.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, it's weird.
Hey, you're going to love this. Ready? Go on my website, Don't Perish. On the front page, there's a tab that says, Roman Catholic priest rebuked. I met him in a McDonald's parking lot. You'll see me on audio and video lovingly rebuke him. He tried to tell me that Jesus is literally in the bread and the wine. And then I also have an article, an audio teaching, totally exposes that. That's an example of false churchianity. Don't fall for it. Study everything to the Word of God.
Well, thank you for your talk.
It's been great talking to you. Seek the kingdom.